In our study on Wednesday night now in Matthew chapter 4, let's turn over here, if you will, Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus calling these men and Jesus walking by, verse 18, Matthew 4, 18. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, saith unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And John chapter 21, John 21, we see here the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection dealing with our brethren up there where they went back to fishing. And the Lord deals with them on different things. He's dealt with Peter in particular in just these previous verses. Verse 21, Peter seeing him, or John, also saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? All right, Peter looks over at John, the apostle, and says, what about him, Lord? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come. If I've got something for John to do, whatever it is, what the Lord said in particular, and he said, if... And John writes in verse 23 about the misunderstanding of that. The Lord just said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, don't worry about John. I'll take care of John and I'll take care of you. You follow me. Follow thou me. We're looking at the life of the Apostle Peter. And as we do so, we see that there's help for our brother from the Lord, and by the things that he deals with and goes through in his life, there's help and hope for us indeed. The blessing of a character study of this brother is just the same kind of problems we have, Peter has, and the Lord helped him, and he's able to help us. We'll see our brother changed. We'll see our brother changed from being called by the Lord and being one of John the Baptist's disciples to a converted disciple of the Lord Jesus. And that the Lord is going to do that and help Peter in that. And the Lord certainly can convert us. Now, we're not talking about salvation. That's not what that converting is talking about. And we'll get to those passages. But you and I need to be converted. As the children of God, we need to be converted. We'll take a look more at that as we go along. Also in this, we're seeing a chronological order in the Gospels, and also this connection, these milestones, as I call them, between the Gospels that help us put these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, in sync one with another, and different things mentioned in them, different occasions mentioned in them that help us put them in time. Matthew tells us things that the other brethren don't. Mark tells us things that the other brethren don't. Luke tells us things that the other brethren don't. John does the same, okay? Not being one of the synoptic gospels, as they're called. He focuses more on the end, the last couple weeks, a few days of the Lord Jesus' life. But there are things that do tie them together. And so it's one of the helps that we can have in study of the Gospels. What we're looking at tonight is along this line. This very dissertation by our Lord is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to look at the book of Mark and Mark chapter 13. And we just finished up the last article in the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. And so this is going to seem a repeat in some respect, but we are somewhat looking at it at a different angle too, rather than just the points that were listed there in that last article of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. Here, the Lord Jesus, and parallel passages to this are found in Luke chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 24. The Lord is talking about end time events. He's inquired by these brethren, and Peter is amongst them. And as Brother Mark writes, as John Mark writes, he mentions this about Peter, James, and John, and questions that they have. And we've seen that out of Peter already, is that we need to have questions about the Scripture. We need to have the questions about the things that the Lord knows. And as we study the Scripture, we need to have questions and learn and ask the Lord to open our hearts and open our understanding to the Scriptures. And the Lord will indeed bless us as His children and here in His church with that. And so we need to be good students of the Word of God. And I ask you here at the beginning of 2016, where do you stand? Did you learn anything in 2015? Did you gain in the scriptures in 2015? Did your knowledge about your Savior and your Lord and your great God and King and those things that He's given us in His Word, has that increased? I'm finding now that I got a lot of holes in the sieve and things run out that I have to be refreshed. But we need to be learning and we need to be growing, not be stagnant, but growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior and His Word. Here in chapter 13, we read in verse number 1, "And as he went out, as Jesus went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." The rebuilt temple, Herod's temple as it's called, and then that temple that was built by the brethren that returned, Nehemiah and Ezra. I always get them mixed up. Ezra built the temple, Nehemiah built the wall. If my memory serves me correctly. And then Herod did a great renovation, as we understand historically, of this temple. And so look at this, they say. Look at all this. Now, as the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, we need to remember a couple things here in these passages. We need to remember that the brethren that he's talking to are, as our Lord, Jews. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that none of this applies to us, because if the Lord's given it to us in his scripture, he wants us to know it. Okay, and it helps us with understanding about the order of end time events. It helps us with even knowledge to know the signs of the times. Even in this chapter, the Lord Jesus is going to mention about understanding about what's going on. We understand what goes on with trees. And if we understand and know about what our Lord says is going to happen towards the end, we can know some things. Now, can we set a date? Well, Jesus is going to set that straight in this passage too, okay? And no, our goal is never to set a date, because you know what? You and I don't need to be sitting back until some date out there that would be set by men and then change our opinion a week before a date. Our Lord says, watch right now. Watch right now. But the Lord also tells us things in His scripture that with His blessing and help, we can understand some things. He's given it to us for that purpose. And so understand that these brethren are Jews, and that we got to remember a major context of this passage is that the Lord is speaking to the Jews. We as Gentiles can learn, okay, but there are some things that apply to the Jews that don't apply to us, we who are Gentiles, here and saved today before the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so we'll look to make that clear as we go along here. Then there's events that are going to come, I'm going to say soon. I've been kind of thinking about how to word this. The principle of soon and later can be applied to this passage too, okay? Soon and later. Some of the things that our Lord says have dual application, two different times, okay? And so, namely, the fall of Jerusalem and the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD by Titus when he comes in. Judaism's done when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, when the Lord Jesus Christ gives up his life there on the cross of Calvary. Judaism is done, but then in some handful of decades later, the Lord just does away with Jerusalem and the temple from the way she stood there. And it's kind of the Lord having to do that in regards to his nation to show and the Lord's not trying to do anything. But in time, the Lord does things to convince his nation. And that's what that this thing of Judaism's done. But see, they yet don't believe that. But in time, when the Lord does work, they will. And he is working on them. So we got to see those things here. And we'll fit that together as we go along. And Jesus answering verse 2 said unto him, "Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, that's Titus, 70 A.D. That's soon, okay? In comparative terms, that's soon. Some of these things are later. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, and Lord willing, here in the future, try to maybe bring some pictures and try to some pictures from the standpoint of just knowing what the layout is over there in Jerusalem, okay? If you can imagine a wall, If you can imagine presently a wall that faces to the east, that's the east wall with an east gate of the Temple Mount. That gate is bricked up solid, okay? And then there's a graveyard right outside of that, and all for purposes of what the Arabs are doing, the Muslims are doing in that. They're trying to block the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we understand their purpose in that. And on down that hill is the Kidron Valley, where the Kidron runs. And then going up the other side is the west bank of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus, he went out of the temple and went over there and sat on Olives facing to the west, back towards the temple. It says here, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temples, okay, so he's across from it. See which way's west. I haven't got that straightened out yet. Been here 7+ years. This is the east, okay? The wall's sitting over here. Olives is to the east, and Jesus is looking back to the Temple Mount from the Mount of Olives, looking to the west. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, okay, looking towards it, Peter and James and John and Andrew, four brethren, ask him privately. They come to him. They may be whispering. They've got this question. They want to know. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now here it says, and at the typical listing that we find in the Gospels, Peter. He's the first one listed for some. He's a ringleader, okay? He's a leader amongst the brethren. It's just that way. The other brethren in Luke and Matthew, as they write their Gospels, they don't mention that in this account. But here Mark does. Peter was amongst those that asked. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? When, Lord? I mean, you know, think about it. Think about the stock that they place, these Jews place in the Temple Mount and all those grounds. I mean, it's a holy ground for them. It is. It's their place of worship. It's all they've known until Jesus has come. And then the teaching that Jesus and the building of his church and the teaching of the Lord Jesus and what he's telling them he's going to do and where he's telling them he's going to send them. You know, it's in high stock for them. And when Jesus says, there's not going to be a one of these stones standing on another. That would get our, you know, if we had somebody come along, and it's by no means a comparison, but it's as close of a parallel as we've got. The Lord Jesus said, this building here is not going to be standing. There'll be not one board fastened to another. You and I would be saying, okay, we would ask when or what? Is there going to be a tornado, Lord? I mean, you know, they don't doubt the Lord, I don't believe. They're asking him, when's it going to be? And curiosity about things with the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. They want to know, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus doesn't say, oh, boys, don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. No, what's he do? He tells them. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Don't be deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. So the Lord tells them, and the thing is, it's kind of folded in here about, as we read these passages, different things and different times, soon and later, are folded in here. There's going to be Christs that are going to come. They already have been, and they're going to be. I don't know. I've not looked to do a historical study. There are those that ask about the Lord Jesus Christ, and about a couple men that had those that followed him out in the wilderness and were killed. There were maybe our brethren in the book of Acts, there's a couple occasions where it's brought out about men rising up against the Roman government, wanting to lead the Jews against them, and their rebellions are quashed. They are a deliverer, okay? They are a Messiah. They are a Christ in a sense. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, there's going to be many that are going to come. So there were those before the Lord came, there were those after the Lord came, and you know what? At the end, there's going to be some too. There's going to be namely one, okay? The Antichrist. Many are going to be, many have been deceived and many will be deceived by them. But you know what? Understand, child of God, nobody's got to tell you when Jesus shows up. Everybody knows when Jesus shows up. Nobody's got to tell anybody that Jesus has shown up physically. Okay, listen to what the Lord will say in this, or as we read on. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be. So there's going to be war, and there's going to be rumbling of war. We've got that in our day. We've had that at different times through my generation's lifetime, and all the generations that are here tonight. You've either seen wars, or you've had the threat cooking and rumbling about war. Okay, but when those wars are at hand and those wars that will come about, even that which Titus brought upon Jerusalem and that, he said, the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. So folded in here are some things soon and along and later, okay? Because in the end, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes. I don't know if you, many of you have seen about it. It's really humorous how the pundits deal with things. Scientists have discovered and believe that under the state of Utah, there's a magma. I think it's Utah or Wyoming. There's a magma dome that if it would break through would destroy 20 states. So they get you to listen to the news that way, and so then old Shep's there and he's talking about it and getting stirred up about it and all that, and then they get the expert on there and says, Yeah, this is a big thing. This is a big thing. But it only happens every so many million years, so you and I aren't going to see anything about that. Okay, but there are going to be earthquakes. And you know what? I think that there's going to be an increase of earthquakes. And we wonder at times, there's a couple years ago, we had several earthquakes in one calendar year. We kind of say, the Lord said something about earthquakes. Seems like that's kind of toned down. But yeah, look out, this is really going to be something. But then when everybody starts looking out and this is going to really be something, they said, don't worry about it, it'll be all right. Isn't that weird? Hype up and then cool you off. Okay, and so these things, there'll be famines. Okay, earthquakes, famines. This thing about tsunami, there's a great tsunami threat, and that comes from earthquakes, you know, that folks on the coast are really concerned about. And the Lord says, know that these things are going to come about, but not until the end. They will come about all the way to the end. Verse 9, but take heed to yourselves. Okay, when it gets to these times, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Well, that's a thing that happened soon, didn't it? It happened with the apostles, did it not? They stood before kings and rulers. James was beheaded by Herod. I mean, that happened soon. But you know what? And our brethren, the apostles, they were dealt with at synagogues and such as that. We see about the apostle Paul and how it was with him. So this is something that this persecution that is told happens will happen soon and has happened along and will also happen at the end. And then there's this, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. When's that been accomplished? You know what? It's closer to being accomplished than it ever has been before. You know, they didn't know it. We know it now looking back, but the New World as it was, North and South America, it was wide open for the gospel to be published back in those days. And the Lord says that it had to be published amongst all nations. And there were all kinds of Indian nations that existed in North and South America that the gospel hadn't been carried to. Now listen, what the Catholics did and what others did wasn't the gospel, okay? It wasn't, because it's another gospel. But the true gospel, the gospel carried by the Lord's people, the Lord's churches, I think it's going around the world. Now I wonder when the Lord's going to say, every nation, it's been accomplished. But the Lord said that's going to have to happen. Can we know about that? Well, we know here in our life, see, there's no new place to go. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that there aren't peoples and tribes that haven't been discovered, because every now and then you hear about that. Okay? But all the continents, we started at one side and we went all, mankind is going all the way around, haven't we? All right? And so it's in the Lord's hands, but indeed it's closer than it has been. But that's a marker that our Lord has set. Verse 11, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." That's something soon and along and later. That's something that's at hand for you and me. Our government is setting things up, or things are at hand now, that if they want us, they can take us. I was reading something about the whole same gender marriage thing and how much of a stir. I mean, even in Cincinnati now, there's in the Cincinnati city government, they've made policy that if a person under 18 years old has gender confusion, nobody can say a word to them about that, to help them or to try to give them something, food for thought. You got to leave them alone. Leave them alone. That's not right. That's wicked. That's wicked. But there's great penalties that are put in place because of that. But the Lord says here, don't think ahead. Don't think ahead when they deliver you up. Okay? When it's time, the Lord will give you, the Spirit of God will give you what to say. Now listen, verse 12. "Now the brother shall be betrayed the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to unto the end, the same shall be saved." What's that all about? You know, this has come about. This is something that has happened soon and along and later. Why would a brother betray a brother to death? Well, maybe he's talking about in the faith, a supposed brother. What if it would be that the government would say there's bounty upon Christians and Jews? It's been done in the past, hadn't it? Why would somebody betray their parents? Tell you what, if they get hungry enough, they will. Without conviction from the Lord to stand and for what's right. Why would children rise up against their parents and betray them? Because the threat of death or imprisonment or starvation would be at hand. If there would be a policy that would come about, and you know what? I mean, can we not see that it's possible in short time that there would be policy to muster out Christians and Jews? Listen, Jews and the Lord's people have been the blame of society's ills and problems for millennia. When something goes bad, Nero did it and many others have done it. They blame the Lord's nation and blame the Lord's people. And men are no different. So that's something that applies all the way back to our brethren when the Lord told them, all the way even up to our time. And he said, "And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." What's he saying there? Those that are saved will persevere. Those that are saved will persevere. Brother Jim, I don't know if I can or not. Listen, you won't have grace to do so till it comes time to do so. And our Lord can give us what we need to do so. We don't get grace, we don't get help beforehand. But we need to know that, I mean, these are sobering things. These are sobering things. Well, I'll never, don't say never. But Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Somebody gets in a position to where the government says, well, if you know where these people live, if you know where these members live, and we can round some of them up, we'll let you this and that or the other. And there they would be. There where they would be, they would have that specter of that decision to make upon them. Verse 14, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field turn not back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Okay, now that, what's this time? Again, it's all kind of folded in there. This is not something that as the saints, we who are saved now, we even look for. Because this is something that's going to happen when the man of sin, okay, and that's what Daniel writes about, when the man of sin goes up into the temple of God, there presently is no temple, but you know what? There will be. And I think we're going to find, Lord willing, we're going to find out about what Ezekiel, I don't know if what Ezekiel talks about is that temple or not. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But there is going to be a temple, and Antichrist is going to go up into that temple and say, okay, boys, I'm God. I'm Jesus. I'm Christ. I'm Christ, is what he's going to say. I'm the deliverer. We who are saved, we're going to be taken out before this in the rapture. Okay, that we read about in 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. So, but the Jews that the Lord will return bring to himself and that he will save at his appearing, they will see these things. Okay, so see how this is folded in together as our Lord speaks. And he talks here about them fleeing and days gone by and centuries, a millennia gone by. They fled to a place in the mountains in the plateau, Masada. And Masada, they use Masada, if I understand it correctly, they use it for training now for the Israeli military. And that could be a place that they would flee to or other places that would they would flee to. What's he say? When you see the Antichrist standing in the temple where he ought not, he said, run, flee. What's he say? Let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. So this is specifically for the Jews. This is later, okay? Later. Now, there is a general of Alexander the Great that came and did some things, and he defiled the temple there that it could be. I could see that being applied to him and the things that he did in the desecration of the temple in that day. He was defeated, I believe, down in Egypt as he looked to conquer. And on the way back through to home to the northeast, he stopped off in Jerusalem and on the way through Judea and through Israel, just had a rant. Okay, and I can't ever remember his name, but he was one of Alexander Great's generals after Alexander's death. And so certainly this could be applied to him, but indeed it is applied unto Antichrist. He says, Lord Jesus, this is Lord Jesus speaking, flee. Don't go back and take your coat. Don't go back in the house and get any clothes. Run, run. You making it or not, you living or dying, could make all the difference of whether you go back upstairs or not. And he says, woe to those women that have a young baby, and that are nursing in those days. They've got the child to carry and themselves to carry. And that temptation of carrying what the child needs. Okay? He says, oh, and the Lord Jesus says, I pray that your flight not be in winter. And pray ye, but pray that your flight won't be in the wintertime. It'll make it that much harder, that much more difficult in January and December and February. Interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ would say this. Doesn't Jesus know when this thing will be? Lord Jesus knows what it will be. But you know what? Read verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And so the Lord Jesus gives warning. And as a man, he knows not when these things will be, when this particular thing will be. And he says, pray that it won't be in winter. Pray that it's some other season. It'll be that desperate and that bad for the Jews. There'll be affliction in that day, affliction that has never been, torment from men upon the people of Israel, a great tribulation upon them. Jesus says there's never been such a persecution, and we've had terrible persecutions just in the history of our world. But he says, not like this one, not like this persecution, not like this vehemence of Satan upon the people that remain of God. And what is it, people that remain of God? His nation, okay? Those that have been saved have been raptured out. All that remain are the Lord's nation that he will save. And he said, there's never been affliction like this affliction. And indeed is a time of Jacob's trouble indeed, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. There won't be anything. There's never been any like it. There won't be anything like it ever again. Except the Lord, verse 20, had shortened these days, there not been one person saved, one person rescued from this affliction that is meted out by the Antichrist, that is meted out by Satan through his Antichrist and the false prophet and all those that are at work. The restraining hand of the Spirit of God has been pulled way back, and Satan is having his day upon the people of the Lord, looking to destroy them. And if the Lord hadn't shortened it, none of them would live. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, verse 20, he has shortened the days. Jesus tells about that. Brother Doug mentioned about that Sunday. The Lord knows what would happen if it went on. And therefore, Jesus tells us he's not going to let it go on. He's going to pull it back. That wrath he will restrain. And then verse 21, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there. He had mentioned that earlier, and he says, now at this time, if we can believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall sow signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. He says, there will come some, there will come one, the unholy Trinity, Satan and his Christ and his false prophet. They will come, and you know what? They will be so powerful, they will be so able and so capable that if even the children of God were there, they would be able to be seduced by it. Jesus knows that, and he tells that. And he says, take heed, I've told you all things. I've foretold you all things. Now, isn't this interesting? Our brethren ask the question. They ask the questions that they ask. And Jesus answers them things that are beyond what they have asked. They've just asked about when the temple's going to be taken down. And that happens in 70 AD with Titus. But you know what? As our Lord Jesus has been speaking, he knows that he's not only speaking to our brethren who lived, and maybe some of them even saw some of those things that happened. John possibly, I guess, could have, maybe. But the Lord knows what you and I need to hear, too. And he knows what Jews all the way down at the end need to hear, too. And so as the Lord answers the question, he's answering the question and he's telling about things for many, for soon and along the way and at the end. And he says here, if anybody's got to tell you where Christ is, don't believe him. I think the point is with other passages that we have in the scriptures, when Christ shows up, all know. Verse 24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. These things are spoken about in Revelation. The stars of heaven shall fall, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power, great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds and from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Let's read that again. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. So when Jesus comes back, he will be known, and his enemies will say, oh no. And his children that come with him, we who come with him will rejoice and will be riding with our Lord. He leading us there, and he will fight and he will rescue his nation. In a day, he will rescue his nation. Power and great power and glory. And then the people of God will be gathered together. Right there before the millennial reign, the people of God will be at hand. As brother pointed out, nobody's left in heaven. All that have died and gone on to be with the Lord are coming back with him. And then those Jews, whether he saves them and they remain in their mortal bodies until the millennial reign, they're there, okay? Or if he changes and translates them as soon as he appears and saves them, however that will be, all the children of God will be there with the Lord. We'll all be gathered together with him. Now learn, verse 28, the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Yeah, well, that's our expectation. We would think it odd to get down into May and June and there not be any leaves on the trees. And the other accounts in Luke and in Matthew, he says that as well as other trees. When her branch is tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is near. Sow ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. So the Lord tells us these things so that some of it we may know. We won't see the man of sin. We hear saying, we won't see the man of sin be in the temple of God. But you know what? It could be we might see the temple started. Could see the temple being built. You know what? And we would know that. We would see that just as an example. She in there now. But one day, if there would be that would start the construction of that, we would know. We would know. Okay? And so the Lord has told us. He says, when you see these things come to pass, you know it is nigh, even at the doors. Verse 30, very important information. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Was Jesus talking about that generation in that day? Well, with some of the things that were done by Titus in that, the brethren well could have seen that done. Or when the generation that's at hand that begins to see some of these things, you know, the first four seals that are written about in Revelation chapter 6, that of a conqueror coming, and that of war, and that of pest or famine and pestilence. I don't know for sure, I'm not dogmatic about it, but I wonder if that just isn't the global meltdown of the way of mankind. And that'll set up make the world ripe for the man of sin to begin to come to power. The scripture's clear. He'll come from among peers, but then he will begin to rise above his peers and exercise great power, ability, and authority. He says, this generation, what's that mean? Is he talking about the brethren? Well, maybe for some of these things. Is he talking about the generation at the end that begins to see these things come to pass? I believe that is so. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know what? You can count on it. Jesus has said it. It'll all come to pass. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, not even the archangel, not even Michael and Gabriel. They don't even know. What's he say? Neither the Son. The Lord Jesus doesn't know. He doesn't know when it'll be. He sits there on the right hand of the Father, and the imagery that the Scripture gives us, he sits there at the right hand of the Father waiting for the Father to say, go. Go get my children. Waiting for that rapture. Waiting for that rapture. The Lord will begin his coming. When he comes in the clouds, he won't set his feet on the ground, but he'll come in the clouds for his saints. What does it tell us in 1 Thessalonians 4? To comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, we shall be changed. We shall be changed. But even the Lord, Jesus, doesn't know when it will be. Take ye heed, watch and pray. Watch, that's what we're given to do. For you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants. I see the authority given to the Lord's church there, don't you? And every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Porter's supposed to be watching. Preacher, the men's preachers and pastors are supposed to be preaching the good word of God. Children, be ready. Jesus is coming. We've been given things that we can look for and that we can see. We need to be wise, not setting a date. Not even Jesus has set a date, but looking, watch, be sober, be aware. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Who's that? That's Jesus. At even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. You don't know if he's coming in the evening, in the middle of the night, at the cock crowing in the morning, or there in the mid-morning. You know what? It'll be all times somewhere, won't it? It'll be all times somewhere. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, listen to what he says here. What I say unto you, how'd this start? Peter, James, John, Andrew, asking privately, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Can you hear me? The Lord Jesus Christ is saying this to you. Watch. Watch. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Isn't it fabulous how our Lord works? And isn't it wonderful how our Lord has brought us his word, his good, rich word? Jesus knew that he was not only talking to the brethren there that day as he sat on olives and looked over towards the temple. He knew that he just wasn't talking to them and telling them the answer to the questions that they had asked, but he knew that he was talking to us here tonight. He's talking to us every time that we've read that passage. Watch. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Are you ready for the Lord to return? Only through salvation by our Lord, through repentance and faith in him and the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ of your soul, can you be ready. We point you to him. Salvation's of the Lord. We don't save ourselves. It's the Lord that saves. And we look to him for making good on the promises that he has made and what he did on Calvary and nothing that we can bring to him. But what he does for us, repent and believe the gospel. That was the message Jesus preached. Repent and believe the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. And watch, he's coming back.